But I do want to speak on the glory of that which we're going to enter into if we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is a glorious future, you know, a glorious place that God has prepared, or it will prepare, for those that are saved. And I do trust that the very thought of what God has got for us might be a blessing to us. The Gospel of John, please, chapter 3, first of all. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. This is the chapter where Nicodemus comes to the Lord Jesus by night. And in verse 3, the Lord Jesus says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, and verse of the last chapter, please, chapter 21. Reading the first 8 verses. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. For anyone to try and deny that there is eternal suffering, my dear friend, they move contrary to the word of God. In fact, the verses before these that we've read, from verse 11 of chapter 20, right down to the end, bring before us the time when ungodly men are going to have to stand before God. People today that think they will escape the judgment of God. The Bible tells us, Thinkest thou, O man, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Men think they will escape the judgment of God. They cannot escape the judgment of God. You cannot escape it, friend. The only way you can escape it is by having faith in the Lord Jesus. For the moment you trust the Son of God, bless God, the Bible tells us that it is at that moment that all judgment is past. And that we'll never have to give account for our sin. Because faith in the Lord Jesus puts away our sin. For the last verses of Revelation chapter 20, again, you'll notice verse 14, when it says, Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I feel very saddened when people come around the doors and try to tell us there's no such a place as hell. Can I say, dear friend, if there's no such a place as hell, there's no point in you being in this room tonight. And if there's no such a place as hell, there's no point in me preaching. Because I'm here to preach a Saviour. And that Saviour is the Saviour from eternal burnings. Thank God he has the power to do it. Thank God he's the desire to do it. And thank God he's the love to do it. Because he does want to bring you to a knowledge of himself and to bring you to eternal life. But if there is no hell, if there is no lake of fire, then we're wasting our time opening these doors, and we're wasting our time preaching the gospel. These people would tell us that really, if you're not amongst the Christians, then you'll just be annihilated, and there's going to be no eternity for you. My dear friend, the Bible doesn't teach such a thing, and we have read very clearly in the book of the Revelation how that those that continue in their sin without a Saviour, that they shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and with brimstone. We're not here to frighten men, but we're here to tell you of a Saviour that can bring you to eternal life, and we trust that you might be blessed of God as the gospel goes out tonight. Two very simple things I want to leave with you today. My dear friend, the book of the Gospel of John tells us how that we must have a new life to start. We don't want a new start to life, you know. A lot of people think that we need a new start to life. We all know the failures that mark us, and we all know the sin that grips us. And we think that by simply turning over a new leaf, by starting afresh, then everything will be all right, and that God will forget the past. You know, the Bible teaches me very, very clearly that God requires that which is past. And we cannot hide the past from God. We cannot gloss over the past from God. I might gloss over it, and sadly, I suppose, as far as my own life is concerned, I might gloss over it. But my dear friend, God doesn't gloss over the past. And the Bible tells us that everything you've done, everything I've done, is recorded in a book. And if we're not saved, then that book will one day be opened, and the whole of your life will be reviewed before the throne of God. And my dear friend, if you've never come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus, there'll be no eternal glory for you. There'll be nothing but eternal punishment. A very sad story for those that are not saved. But you're in a gospel meeting tonight, and you're going to hear of Christ tonight. And my dear friend, you can have a new life to start. Because it's when you get the new life that God wants to give to you, that's when life really starts. I'm very thankful that on March the 17th in 1951, it's a long time ago now, but that's the time when I trusted the Lord Jesus. That's the time when I got saved. I'm very thankful for the moments that God drew me to the Son of God. I heard the gospel just like you hear it. I heard that Christ had gone to Calvary to die for a sinner like me. And I heard that I needed a Saviour. I was also warned to flee from wrath to come. But can I tell you, I was very, very careless. Week after week, month after month, knowing that I was going to meet with God in judgment, and knowing that sinners were going to be cast into eternal burnings, I continued to neglect the business of my soul's salvation. But the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? To neglect, you know, is not to reject, but just to neglect it, to do nothing about it, even though we know that we ought to do something about it. And I tell you, week after week, month after month, every time I was in a gospel meeting, let the name of Christ be mentioned, I knew he should be my Saviour. Let eternity be brought before me, I knew where it was going. Let a preacher preach about sin. And my dear friend, the enormity of my guilt, it came before me. And the thought of standing before God about it, let me tell you, it caused me great terror. But I still wouldn't get saved. I neglected it. I suppose I was a little like a man in the book of the Acts. When he said to the Apostle Paul, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And every Sunday night, almost. You know, the Apostle Paul had one word for that man. I would you were not almost, but altogether, such as I am, save these bonds, for Paul was in chains. And he was given an account before King Agrippa. And King Agrippa that knew the scriptures, King Agrippa that knew what had been done regarding the person of Christ, and knew his own responsibility, he wasn't prepared to put faith in the Saviour. Is there someone here tonight? Would it be said of you? You know you ought to be saved. And you know you ought to trust Christ. But you keep putting off the business. Neglecting it. Almost. But not altogether. I heard one young fellow telling us that he was an unbelieving believer. You know what he meant by that? He believed all this book. Can I tell you, I was just like him before I got saved. I believed this book from cover to cover. It's God's word. And if God says it, then it's got to be true. But my dear friend, though I believed the Bible, I haven't trusted Christ. I was an unbelieving believer. There may be somebody in the room tonight. And you're one of those. You know you need a new life. To start. A new life to bring you to eternal blessing. And that's what the Lord Jesus speaks of here in the Gospel of John in chapter 3. You've probably heard it often, haven't you? Except a man be born again. You need to be born again. You need to have a new life, my dear friend, to start out with God, to start out with Christ. He used to say, to start the glory road. Tonight, if you're not saved, you're on that broad road that leadeth to destruction. By the way, have you ever thought? That broad road becomes very narrow at the end, you know. There's many a man that's told us that he's moving with his companions, I've all my companions, and they have the audacity to tell us that if they do end up in hell, I'll have all my companions there. No, you won't. If you're on the broad road tonight, my dear friend, when you come to the end of life's journey, let me tell you, it's a very lonely path. You go out absolutely alone. And you'll go out alone into eternity. Into the blackness of darkness forever. And let me tell you, you wouldn't know your friends. I have a little paper at home written by a Baptist minister, I believe. And it's all about eternal fire. And you know what he says in that book? He says, if you were to bump heads with your dearest friend, you wouldn't know who it was. That's a startling thought, isn't it? My dear friend, to find yourself shut out from God for eternity is an awful thing. You must be born again. Now that's not my words. That's the words of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, except a man has got a new life, for that's what new birth is. And the moment you trust Christ, my dear friend, you get new life. The Bible tells me that this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And when you get to know Christ, you'll get to know God, and my dear friend, then you'll know eternal life. That's what the Lord Jesus is speaking of here. And that new life comes the moment you trust the Christ of God. That new life comes the moment that you believe in the Lord Jesus and make him your Lord and Saviour for time and eternity. But the Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Then you'll never even see it. That glorious kingdom that God has will prepare for those that believe in the Lord Jesus. They'll not even see it. I just write over it. They'll be blind to it. What a sad thing. Never to see the wonder and splendor of what God has prepared for them that love him. But then, I notice when I come down to verse 5, the Lord Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then they're not going to be blind to it, but barred from it. Barred from it. You know, there's an awful verse. I say that as I think of the consequences of it in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 13. But it says, this is the day of opportunity. This is the hour when God wants you saved. This is when he presents Christ before you. This is when he tells that the Lord Jesus is the Saviour of sinners. This is when the word of God that comes and says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But listen, this day is not going to go on forever. Oh, thank God it's gone on for 2,000 years. And thank God it's still being proclaimed tonight. Some people turn down and say, well, you know, people have always been preaching about it. It'll just keep going on. I have opportunity after opportunity. Listen. Peter tells me, the Apostle Peter, of the fact that God today is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And the only reason why the Lord hasn't come and why this day of grace is going on and why you have an opportunity to be saved, my dear friend, is because God is long-suffering. But let me tell you, I'm going back to the verse in Luke. One day the Lord's coming. And the Bible says, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door. Now, many years ago I was preaching in Scotland, over in Edinburgh. There were some laddies came from a place called New Stevenson across to Edinburgh to listen to me preaching. Quite a journey, first from Glasgow to Edinburgh. But Father was very strict. In fact, I might say he was very strict. And Father gave them a deadline as to the time that they had to be in. I forget what the time was, maybe 11 o'clock at night. But you know, they decided, when somebody invited them out for a wee meal after the meeting, they'd go out for the wee meal after the meeting. And when they got home, they found the doors were locked. And strict instructions that the doors were not to be opened. You know, the sisters and those boys had just had to throw a few blankets through the windows. And the boys had to sleep in the car. It wasn't too bad. They're all saved now, thank God. And they're all going well in the things of God. But the Father shut to the door. Can you imagine when God does it? For one day, let me tell you, the Lord Jesus is going to rise off that throne in heaven. He's going to come into the skies. He's going to call the Christians home to the glory. And there's coming a point when he's going to shut to the door. My dear friend, you won't have opportunity to be saved. You won't be able to respond to the gospel. That's why the Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you'll hear his voice. Listen. I don't know whether you've ever been troubled about your sin. And you need a Saviour. Can I tell you? The devil will give you tomorrow. For tomorrow is the devil's time. Oh, if I'd only keep them for another day. The Lord might have come and they could have lost their opportunity. Eh? Today is God's time. And today is your time. God never promises tomorrow. I trust he'll give it to you. And I trust the opportunity might be there and you'll get saved and go on to enjoy much of the Lord's presence. But my dear friend, I can't give you tomorrow. All I can tell you is there's a Saviour tonight. There's new birth for you tonight. And if you get saved, my dear friend, you'll not only see that coming kingdom, but you'll enter that coming kingdom. And you'll be blessed of God by it. I want us to take a look at that kingdom. We have it brought before us in the book of the Revelation and chapter 21. It's a wondrous scene. In the book of the Revelation and chapters 20 and 21, we do draw attention to the fact that at the end of chapter 20, we're told of the time when all ungodly men are going to stand before the throne of God. I never forget, many years ago, I came from a drunken family. My father was a drunkard, my mother was careless, my brothers, one of them, two of them particularly. If I ever went to see them, I used to have to go to the pub to visit them because they never came home until after closing time. And many times they'd be in a back room, apparently, with the pub owner. until the early hours of the morning. One time I went home to see my mother, and as she opened the door, she didn't want to open the door to me. When she realised who it was, she said, oh, Sam's drunk. That's my eldest brother. Or was my eldest brother. That's all right, Mother. I've seen them drunk before. I knew what it was like to carry them to the vet, to clean up their mess. But the preacher boy had come. And Sam's drunk. Well, I went in. And Sam was flat out on a settee. And as I came in, he struggled to his feet. And I can see him now swaying around the room. Well and truly, drunk. And he turned around and said, I'll tell him what to do when I get up there. Get off and give me a go. I just pushed him, you know, back under the settee again. Good bit older than me, but just pushed him back on the settee again. And the poor fellow was so drunk he couldn't stand. I said, Sam, you can't even control yourself, never mind the universe. One day you're going to stand before God, and don't you forget it. The sinners are going to stand before God. It's brought before me in the book of the Revelation, and it told of a great white throne that's set up in space. And do you know what it says about that great white throne? Such is the solemnity of that throne when sinners are going to stand there. It says, from the face of him that sat upon the throne, the heavens and the earth fled away. That fifth heaven, the sun, the moon, the stars, this earth. And it's not here forever. The Lord Jesus tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And I could take you to scripture after scripture that tells me how that the heavens are going to melt and the earth with fervent heat, and it's all going to be destroyed. Do you know the God that brought it into being and did it in those 6 days in one act of his own will? He's going to destroy it all, this universe in which we live. It's not eternal. It's not running down. It's in the hand of God. And God's in absolute control. But he's promised me eternal life. But am I going to enjoy that eternal life? But I've come to Christ. My sins have been forgiven. Many in this hall are the same. They've come to Christ. Their sins are forgiven. They believe on the Lord Jesus. They have the happy knowledge that they're going to enjoy eternity with God's beloved Son. Well, that's why we read in chapter 21. You know, chapter 21 tells us how that God's going to make a new heaven. And he's going to make a new earth. He's going to make a new sun and a new moon and new stars. And he's going to make a new earth. I love what the Bible tells me about it. It tells me that on that new earth, there's going to dwell righteousness. Do you know what that means? Sin will never ever be seen again. The people that we read of here in verse 8, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, the liars, they won't have a part on that new earth. Do you know who's going to be there, friend? Those that have got new birth. Those that have got new life. Those that have trusted Christ. They're the ones that are going to be there. Thank God for that. And let me tell you, everyone that's marred and spoiled and ruined this world in which we live now, no, they're going to stand before God if they've never got saved. And chapter 20 of Revelation tells me they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. An awful thing. Where will you spend eternity? You must make a decision, you know. What will you do with Jesus? The call comes low and clear. There's got to be a solemn answer, friend. What you'll do with the Christ of God, God's going to make a new heaven. He's going to make a new earth. And then he tells me. Do you remember that hymn that we sang together? The last one. I'd forgotten that that was actually part of the hymn. I was very glad it was there as we were singing it, you know. When it says that in the New Jerusalem, is going to appoint my soul a place. Well, here, in verse 2, he sees that city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. I believe that that city are those that belong to Christ. We're seen as a city to govern that new world. We've all been born again. And we're going to have a place in it. Thank God for that. And coming down to dwell with the other people who have got saved in other ages. But look what it says here in verse 4. But we'll go back to verse 3. Because verse 3 tells us God himself shall be there. You know, it's a lovely thing, my dear friend. When God first created man and placed him in the Garden of Eden, and when he first created Eve and took her from a rib from his side, it would seem that God came down in the cool of the day to talk with them and to commune with them. For God wanted to commune with them. I tell you, it's a lovely thing to commune with God. To pray in the morning, to pray at night, to lift your voice heavenward at various times as the day goes on. Lovely thing to have fellowship with God only because we've come to Christ, because he alone can bring us to God. You need to be brought to God tonight, dear friend. You need to be saved. But here, I notice in verse 3, it tells me that God's not just coming down to talk, but God's going to dwell. God himself shall dwell with them. And here, everything is going to be on that new earth, and God's going to take his dwelling place there. And we're going to be with him. And sin will never raise its head. The shame and guilt of this world will never be seen. See what verse 4 says? God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death. No graves in that wonderful day. Thank God for that. No one's ever going to die. We've got eternal life. And we're going into that glorious world. It says there'll be no sorrow. There'll be no crying. I don't know about you, but over these past 74 years, I've known a fair bit of sorrow. And over these past 74 years, I've shed a few tears. Loved ones have died. Hardships have come. Family have been hurt. Children have been ill. And the many things that happen, thank God they'll never be known in that new world. Will you be there? What you do with Christ now depends where you're going to be for eternity. If you go on without Christ, let me tell you, there's no place in that glorious world that God is going to create for those that belong to himself. It's only those that are saved that are going to be there. And see what it says? No more pain. But I tell you, if you live long enough, you'll know a bit of it, won't you? The pain touches us. This old body of mine, I tell you, I never thought it would come to what it comes to. I'm very glad of all the pills the doctor gives me. I'm going to be away preaching for 4 months, from Easter onwards, going through to Australia, then to Canada, and I've had to ask the doctor for 4 months of prescriptions. Well, I'll tell you, when I come out of the chemist now, there's a bag like this. Somebody said the day's going to dawn when you're going to have to take a bag just to carry your pills. Well, I think the day's come. And the old body's cracking up. But thank God, with a new body, a new life, to enjoy the presence of God throughout eternity. Why? Because I was born again. Tell me, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus tonight? Have you got a glorious future before you? Or will you be amongst those in verse 8? The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters. Oh, says somebody, I'm not going to be abominable. I'm not going to be a murderer. I'm not going to be a sorcerer. I'm not going to be an idolater. I'm not going to be a liar. But see how it begins? The fearful, the unbelieving. And what keeps many a man and woman from Christ is fear. And what keeps many a man and woman from Christ is unbelief. And they head the list of those that they should have. Well, we're enjoying the blessing of God for the whole of eternity. When you're out here on that new world, Well, you like to know that you're going to walk in the presence of God for eternity, with all the sadnesses that mark this world, finished with forever, because you believed in God's beloved Son. It's a glorious gospel, friend. You need to be saved. But let me tell you, you need to be saved tonight. Shall we pray? Our God, we bow before thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, thankful again for the fact that men and women can be born again, and thankful that they can have a new life to start with as they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own Saviour. And as the gospel is continually preached, we pray that there will be none that will hold back from receiving the Saviour, and as they anticipate a glorious day which we believe is not too far away. For the God that brought this world into being is the same God that will, in a moment, not just deal with it and finish with it, but we're thankful you will bring in a new world that will be the dwelling place of all that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless thy word, we pray, and bless the people as we ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, sing to us a verse in closing, please. You've been very patient, and we trust that God will bless you. We're going to sing verse 2 of number 367. 367.